So last week, we learned that the Bible is absolutely true word of God. So now, we're going to use that in our next studies, because if the Bible wasn't true, how can we use it to prove anything? But we discovered that it is. So tonight, we're looking at assurance of salvation. Now, the first thing is, what does it mean to be saved? We discussed that a little bit earlier. It means every sin is forgiven. Past, present, future, everything. All your sin is forgiven. It means that Jesus lives in us. We speak of asking Jesus to come into our heart and live with us and direct our lives. It means we have peace, not as the world gives peace, but the way Jesus does. It means we have power, not power to overwhelm somebody, but we have the power to endure. And we have purpose. God has a mission for us. We always say, God loves you, and He has a plan for your life. That plan is your purpose. And that plan is why you need to be saved, because most people don't follow God's plan. I actually had a guy at one point walked up to me when we were downtown working with another group, and he thought he was going to intimidate me. And he says, "So what have you got to say to me?" And God said, just tell him, God loves you and has a plan for your life. So I did. God loves you and He has a plan for your life. And he thought for a second. He said, well, what if I don't like that plan? I said, second spiritual law. We're separated from God because we're not following His plan. He wasn't ready for that. So the next thing you know, we got into this long discussion. He never actually committed his life to Christ while I was there, but I noticed that he was shaken by this. Somebody who could not be intimidated, and somebody who knew for sure what God's plan is. It means we're going to heaven. We are either going to die sooner or later and go be with Jesus. So death does not scare us. Or the Lord's going to return, and that's going to be fun, because then we go up to be with Him and then we come back to rule in His millennial kingdom. Now, we have a series of commercials on TV, you may have seen them, that goes back to the earlier way that people would try to lead people to Christ. It says, do you know for sure that if you died right now, that you would go to heaven? Now, this is what Bill Bright called scaring people into salvation. If you don't give your life to Christ and you die, that's it for you, buddy. Eternity in hell. Now, that's a true fact. It's not a lie or anything. But Bill Bright found that we like to tell people positive things. And so we say, God loves you. And He has a plan for your life. And the fact that you're not experiencing God's plan is a problem. Let me explain to you how to fix this. Okay. But we need to know for sure that we have given our life to Christ and that we are, in fact, saved. You can know this for sure. Now, some people will tell you, the Muslims, for one, do not think you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. They think that, you know, Allah picks and chooses who He wants. Now, if you're not Muslim, you're right out. But if you are Muslim, then He picks and chooses who He wants. We believe that you can know for sure that you're saved and that you're going to heaven. It's not a hope. It's not a wish. The Catholics often refer to a thing called the hope of heaven. Now, what they're saying in this is their belief that if you follow all the rules and you do everything just the way the Catholic Church says, that you'll go to heaven. And so you're hoping for heaven and you're working hard at it. But it's not a hope. It's not a wish. It's something you can know for sure. 1 John 5, 1-13 is clear about this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of Him. This is how we know that we love God's children, when we love God and obey His commands. For this is what love of God is, to keep His commands. Now His commands are not a burden, because whatever has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. And who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus Christ, He is the one who came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and by blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in agreement. If we accept the testimony of men, God's testimony is greater, because it is God's testimony that He has given about His Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has this testimony within him. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony God has given about His Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who doesn't have the Son does not have life. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so you may know that you have eternal life. You can know for sure. Now, if you could have it and not know it, then you could lose it and not miss it. But if you have it, you should know it. And you can't lose it if you've got it. Jesus said, nobody can take anybody that's mine out of my hand. You can't lose it. Now, I had a guy who said, well, you could just give it away. And I said, yeah, but you'd probably get off on an insanity plea, because who would give it away and say, I really want to go to hell? That would be kind of stupid. We can have assurance. Can you be saved and can you be saved and doubt that you're saved? Sure. That's what the devil does all the time. He's trying to convince you this isn't real. First thing he ever did in history was to try to tell lies to Eve to get her to screw up, and he was successful. Since then, he's been trying to mess up God's creation every chance he gets. It's why God said He wrote so that we would know for sure. So what's our assurance of salvation? Well, first of all, it begins at the new birth. John 3:1-7. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, Rabbi, we know you've come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless someone's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But how can anyone be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked him. Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone's born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born again. You see, in birth, conception takes place. In both of these scriptures I've read, it refers to the water and the spirit. Now, the water is the word of God. When he talks about being born of the water, he's talking about physical birth. Born of the spirit is the spirit of God. And he says you have to combine those two together to have a new believer. You had to be born physically, and then you're born of the spirit when you give your life to Jesus Christ. In birth, a continuation takes place. We weren't manufactured, we were born. Okay? And then we go on from there. Life was passed to us from our mother and her father, who was involved in us getting conceived. In birth, character is passed. We have traits of our parents. People will say, oh, you look like your parents, or you have physical characteristics of your parents, or maybe you inherited genetic problems from your parents. But things come from our parents, a mix of our mother and our father. And then we have the traits of God that can be passed to us if we let him. Now, our parents are also sort of involved in that when you think about it, because if our parents lead us to Christ, then they're passing on the traits of God to us. But even if they didn't, we have the chance to give our life to Christ, and he'll pass all this on to us himself. In birth, completion occurs. It's once for all. You're not becoming born. You either are born or you aren't. And in birth, a commencement occurs. It's not past. There's no past for you. That's the beginning of your life when you're born. The only thing that there is the present and the future. In birth, certainty is expected. It is an absurd question for somebody to say, were you born? And it would be even more absurd to answer, well, I think so. I think I was born. I mean, I don't know what you're thinking. It's like, well, I hope I wasn't hatched or whatever. But God is not Santa Claus. He doesn't keep a list. There's no comparing aw shucks to attaboys. Any aw shucks and you're done. No sin can be allowed. Jesus bought your salvation. You just take it. It turns out that salvation is grace plus faith. Grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. Faith stands for forsaking all, I trust him. So what does this all mean to us? What if you don't know the exact moment you were saved? Now, there are some people who will tell you, you need to know exactly when you were saved, or you need to get saved again. Not true. I don't know exactly when I was saved. I don't know the day, time, all that kind of stuff. But I vividly remember getting saved. And I know it because when I was a little kiddle, I always felt the presence of Jesus in my life. I mean, I grew up in a family that had one person not saved. And God went out and got him later in life. But I always felt the presence of Christ. And then one day, I heard about what sin was. And I realized I wasn't always a totally good little boy. Now, how bad can you be at four? But it seemed like it was terrible. And the worst of it was, Jesus wasn't there anymore. I just couldn't feel him. And then my grandmother explained this all to me, and she led me to give my life to Christ, and Jesus was back. So I know how I got saved. I don't know the exact day, time, all that kind of stuff, but I know I got saved. There's no doubt in my mind. Another example that Adrian Rogers gives is, what if you're flying on a plane, maybe from California, headed to Seattle? Now, at some point, you crossed into Washington, and you didn't even know it. I just came from Arizona, and I don't know exactly when I crossed into Washington. There's no way to know. Okay, I'm not watching. I don't. There's not a line there. Well, sort of there is. If I happen to be looking out and I could see all the way down there, I might see the Columbia River and say, "Oh, now we're in Washington." But the point is, it doesn't matter if I knew when I got to Washington. It doesn't even matter if I knew when we got to Seattle. I mean, I feel them coming down, wanting to land and all. But I don't have the exact date and time or anything. But I still came to Seattle. Actually, with Everett that we came to. But at any rate, it doesn't matter if you know exactly. It matters that you know for sure that you were saved. Mm-hmm. At some point, Roxanna and Sherry decided, yeah, this is what we want. And the next thing I know, they're coming to me and saying, we want to get baptized because we got saved. Mm-hmm. Okay. What if you're still not sure? What if you're still worried about this? Well, there's two reasons you might feel that way. It's either conviction from God because of something that's interfering with your communication to Him, or it's a torment of the devil trying to lead you in the wrong direction. So you just ask him, what about this? Lord, I want to be saved. I want to be sure I'm saved. And if I'm not, I want you to come into my life right now and be sure that I'm saved. Now, if you weren't saved, you'll get saved. And you'll feel it. Or you'll feel the Lord telling you, yeah, you are already saved. Don't worry about it. You're mine. I always got a big kick because when my daughter gave her life to Christ, the first thing she did was she started going to every one of her friends, you got to get saved. And here she is at like 6 or 7 years old. She wants everybody on the planet to be saved right now. Okay, that's a way to know you've gotten saved. If you're still worried about it, then you need to check for sin in your life that's causing you to not be in communication with God and going straight towards Him. And if you need to talk about it, if you need to discuss anything, I'll be here. Let me know. We can talk anytime you want to. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've given our lives to you. We thank you that we know that you're there for us. We know that our time of death is determined by you, and that even if we die, we're going to come straight to you. I personally would prefer that it didn't hurt too much, but that's secondary. Go with us throughout our lives. Help us to lead more and more and more people to Jesus, and help us as we move to this new place and start a new chapter of this church. Help us to reach out and to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys.